pastors, and I get the privilege of preaching today. And so if there's anything we can do for you while you're here, we'd love to serve you and help make this a great Sunday morning for you. But we're going to do something unique today, and that is we're going to take a break from our sermon series, and we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on with Redemption Church and the vision that we believe God has placed before us for the role that we are to play within his kingdom. And so you should have received a handout on the way in. Hopefully you've already opened that up. You'll notice there's an extra piece of paper in there. There's a flyer in there that's going to explain to you our building campaign and how you can get involved in that. And that is a major part of what I want to talk about today, but it's definitely not the only part. I want to talk to you about why we're having a building campaign. And I think that's extremely important that you understand the why behind the what. And so you also have a place on the back of the handout to take notes, though this is a little bit different than a traditional sermon today. I still wanted to give you opportunity to follow along and know exactly where we're at and what it is that I'm talking about so that you can get the most out of our time together. If you are new here today, and you haven't been to church for a while, or maybe you've left a different church, and you kind of have, a little bit of an issue with churches asking for money all the time, this was a unique Sunday to come, because today we're going to ask for money. However, I don't feel, and you can, I feel confident you could ask anybody here, it's not usually the emphasis of what we do here together, though we don't shy away from talking about money. Money's a very important topic. We're definitely not one of those churches where we're always trying to get in your pockets and always talk about, well, if you know, the pastor drives some fancy car and he stands up here and tells you how blessed you'll be if you give and all that. I don't drive a fancy car. I have a 2006 Ford F-150. I think the Blue Book value is about $2,500 on it. And I love it. And so just to let you know, though, heads up, that today we are talking a good bit about money, though a lot more than that. We hope that you'll come back and see that we are more than that, that we have a singular focus on the Word of God, typically on Sunday mornings. And we're very bulldogish about protecting this time to get into the Word of God. And so today is a bit of an exception, though we're going to be in the Word of God. In fact, I'd invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. It'll be a little bit different than most Sundays here at Redemption. But we begin with Matthew 28 because it's such a foundational text for why the church exists and what exactly the church is supposed to do. You know, there are a lot of ideas about what the church is and what the priorities of the church should be, but Jesus himself really sets the stage for what he wants his church to do. And so let's go to this very well-known text in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age." This is what we call the Great Commission. This is Jesus after his resurrection, before he returns to heaven. He gathers his disciples together and he gives them marching orders. These are the instructions that he gives them to go and to make disciples of all nations, taking with him the authority that Jesus himself has and that he extends to them. And he tells them, while they're making those disciples, to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to teach them to observe all that he has commanded. And then he gives this incredible promise, "I'm with you always to the end of the age." And so nothing has, in a sense, a lot of things have changed in the last 2,000 years, but when it comes to the Great Commission, nothing has changed. Jesus is still with his people. He is still sending us to make disciples, to baptize, to teach, to build his church, and he is still with us. He goes with us in this work. And so as we consider that mandate, as we consider that mission that Jesus gives to his disciples, I want to ask the question, and you'll see this on your handout, who then is Redemption Church? Who are we? And why are we here? And what are we doing? Those are important questions for us to have the answers to. Well, we have four core values that kind of express our identity as a church, or at least our desired identity. These four core values aren't just core values, they're really a target that we aim at. We say, this is the kind of church that we want to be. And those four core values on your handout are this: we are a Bible-centered, gospel-driven, disciple-making, multiplying church. That is our desire, to be Bible-centered. That means that the Word of God is at the center of everything that we do. The Word of God is our instruction manual. It is where we turn to for our purpose. It is the Word of God that we live by, that we operate by. Even as an organization, we look to the Word of God for instruction and direction. And it's not only an important part of our Sunday morning services, but it's an important part of all that we set out to do. When we're considering new ministry opportunities, one of the questions that's constantly scrolling in our collective mind is, will this help us advance knowledge of and obedience to the Scriptures? How will this serve the purpose of being Bible-centered? Additionally, we strive to be gospel-driven. That means that many churches have fallen into the trap of existing solely for those who currently attend, and with little regard to those who are still on the outside, with little regard to those who need to hear the gospel message. And we explicitly make it our aim to be driven by the gospel into our community, into the world, into our workplaces, into our homes, into our neighborhoods, wherever God will allow us to go. We are going with the gospel, with the purpose of helping people come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Furthermore, we desire to be producing disciples. Disciples are fully committed followers of Jesus Christ. Disciples are more than people who just go to church, or more than people who just identify themselves as Christian. Disciples are those who actually get up every day and do what Jesus commands. They walk in a personal relationship with him, and they seek to carry out his will on the earth. And so we want to be a disciple-making church. And then probably the most difficult of our four core values is that we want to multiply. We actually don't want to see just how big we can grow our church. We want to advance the church as a whole, and that means sending out. And so we desire to send out pastors, church planters, missionaries, gospel workers for the kingdom. We don't want to just gather people in one place. We want to commission people to go and to be sent to do the work of the kingdom. And so those are our core values. That's what we aim at. That's what we desire to be. And so how do we go about doing that? Well, we've kind of, our thinking is, and this sort of follows Acts 1:8, where Jesus says to his disciples, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, which is the city that they're in. And he says, you'll be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria, which is the larger region that Jerusalem is situated in. And then he says, to the ends of the earth. And those three points of right where we're at, our broader region, and then ultimately globally, kind of drive how we see our mission and our vision here at Redemption Church. We want to be effective locally, we want to make an impact regionally, and we want to be a part of what God is doing globally. And so the next thing you'll see on the handout is that we strive to be used by God to grow his church, first of all, locally. You can't do anything if you don't do something locally first. You have to begin somewhere. And in many respects, this is the most important part of what we do, because without it, the rest won't happen. And so in 2019, there was a number of us who gathered together to launch Redemption Church. And I remember Lower Borough was brand new to me. I grew up not far from here. I lived most of my life in the Catanian area. But it wasn't until 2019 that I moved here. And I remember as I was kind of just getting acclimated to this new town, that one night I was watching I don't know how many of you know what Bellator is, but it's mixed martial arts. And something I got into around that time, I started watching a lot of mixed martial arts. And I remember watching this one fight, and the announcer comes on, and he says, "Fighting out of Lower Burrell, Pennsylvania." And then I can't even remember the name of the fighter. I know Isaac's here. Isaac's and Dylan's here. They're going to kill me because they probably know who I'm talking about. But this guy was from Lower Burrell. And I was like, wait a minute. I'm in Lower Burrell. And I thought, how cool that our town is on the map here, that this is being heard. People around the world are hearing about Lower Burrell because of a fighter who came out of Lower Burrell and made it that far. And I thought, man, how awesome would it be for Lower Burrell to be known because of the church of Jesus Christ and the impact that she is having around the world. But it begins locally. And so in 2019, we began to gather. We met several different places that first year. One of our first meetings was in my basement. We met up at, one time we had a meeting up at the Pittsburgh Mills in the food court because you can do anything you want up there. Literally, we just had a meeting there. There was nobody to even ask permission, and there was nobody to care that we were there. And so we just had a meeting there. We probably should have rode that out a little bit longer and saved a little money on rent, but you know, that's how we began. We started gathering people, and God started building his church. And as we grew, we started looking for other places to meet. In 2019, we met at Stewart Elementary for several months. COVID hit, and that opportunity went away, and so we had to go online for a while, and then we met at Need Cafe during COVID, and then in April of 2021, we moved into this building, and when we moved in here in 2021, we had an average of about 70 people attending a Sunday morning service. We instantly grew, and in 2022, our average attendance was 173 people on any given Sunday morning. So we went from 70 to 173 on average, and in 2023, our average last year was 259, and so far in 2024, our average Sunday morning attendance, this is adults and children, is 335 people. And so that trajectory means a number of things. One, it means we have a problem. Because we don't have enough space for the growth that we're seeing here at Redemption. And that's honestly been an issue from the beginning. I mean, from the very moment we moved into this building, Greg and I were talking about, well, where can we add on? What can we do? Because even at that point, the space just wasn't right. Even if there was enough space, it wasn't the right kind of space in the right places. And so we began exploring. We're looking around like, okay, what do we do? How do we add on here? How do we make this so accommodate the growth that we're seeing here? And we begin to look into putting an addition on and all that, and found out that is extremely expensive. It's very expensive. One of the biggest limitations we've had in this building has always been for our kids ministry. We have a lot of kids. There's usually about 50 kids here on Sunday morning at Redemption Church, and so. The space for them, because you got to break them up into classrooms that are appropriate for their age and all that, and you got to have enough teachers and adults with them. It takes a lot of space to serve our kids well the way that we want to, and so that's always been one of our limitations. And so we had a couple of different contractors come in and say, "Here's what we got. Here's what we need. Talk to us. What do you think?" And we kind of settled on this idea of adding about 2,500 square feet. Now, so for a frame of reference, this entire building is 10,000 square feet. Every inch of this building adds up to 10,000 square feet. So we were going to gain about 25% square footage-wise on top of what we already had. That was going to be classrooms, a large multi-purpose room, and a better kitchen. Anybody who's ever had to use our kitchen, this building's never had a real kitchen. Where you get the coffee and where the fridge is at, that was the kitchen when we moved in here. There was a stove there. That was the only thing that was different. We took what was a Sunday school closet. It was literally just shelves and curriculum and stuff, and converted it into the kitchen that we have now. But it's so restricting. There's very little that you can do with that. And so that was part of our expansion plan, was to add a kitchen that would help us host different types of events here. We have a lot of events in here, conferences, workshops, things like that, where a kitchen would be useful. And so that's what we were looking at. The quote that we were getting was that that was going to be cost somewhere from $1 million to $1.2 million to add 2,500 square feet. And if you're like me, you're having sticker shock right now. You're like, geez, that's crazy. If you're in construction and stuff, you probably know, yeah, it's expensive. It's very expensive to build. And that did include paving the parking lot, which has been another issue for us. We expanded our parking lot twice in 2023, and we're running out of room to expand. Our neighbors are going to be surprised to wake up one day and we're all parked in their yard if we don't come up with a better solution, right? And so for $1 million, we really weren't getting that much. And what that didn't do was that didn't touch this space. That didn't increase our seating capacity. It actually reduces our parking capacity, because that was going to take up almost the entire back lot of our parking. And so it was less than ideal, but still a better option than just sitting and not being proactive about what was going on. And so the summary is, an addition here would not really solve all of our space needs and would cost us over $1 million. However, another opportunity arose a little over a year ago. Actually, I was doing a funeral for my great uncle's funeral, and I ran into somebody who at that funeral who attends Trinity United Christian Church, and they said, I don't even remember how it came up in conversation, but basically they said, our church is thinking about selling our building. Now, we had a little bit of a history with Trinity United Christian Church, because when we were first starting to meet as a church in 2019, I sent an email out to all of the churches in Lower Borough, and I just introduced myself, and I said, this is who we are and what we're seeking to do. We're here basically to be an ally and to be a friend, not to be a competitor, but we believe this is where God has called us. And if you would be interested or open to talking to us about us potentially using your space, when you're not using it, we would love to talk. And I had two churches respond, and Trinity was one of them. And Greg and I actually went over, we met with Trinity, we met some of their elders, they showed us the building, we loved their building, and they were extremely open to the idea of a church plant meeting in their building, which is somewhat unique. It shouldn't be this way, but churches can be competitive with one another or territorial. And so they left a very good impression. We ended up not using their facility, because that was the same time the Need Cafe became available. But that began what was a very positive impression. I wouldn't say a relationship, because we didn't really have much communication after that, but it was a very positive impression. And so I knew the building. And so when I heard at this funeral this building could be going up for sale, I was very interested in talking to them. And so it took a long time. It took several months before we actually got into conversation. But sometime last summer, we began to meet together with their leadership team and talk about their needs, talk about our needs. Their situation is this. They have a 25,000 square foot building. Now remember, ours is 10,000 square feet. So they have 25,000 square feet, a congregation that has aged and has shrunk over the years, as congregations sometimes do, yet a strong desire among the people who are there to continue to be used of God to do his work here in the area. And so they weren't ready to close down. They just needed to get out from underneath the burden of having such a large building, a large mortgage, high expenses, and all of that stuff. And so we began to talk about what would it look like to do some sort of swap. For us to move into their building, for them to move into this building. Well, it took a long time. It took a long time to work through those negotiations and to get to a point where we all felt like our needs were being met in a acceptable way, but we did come to an agreement. We came to an agreement that Trinity would sell us that building for what they owe, plus $75,000 cash to help them through the transition of moving. They would come and begin meeting in this building rent-free, and so we will retain ownership of this building, but they can meet here rent-free for up to 5 years. Expenses in this building are very reasonable. We have a gas well on the property, so we don't pay anything for heating. And so really, for a few $100 a month, they'll have a beautiful, brand new, renovated, well, a couple years now, but fairly recently renovated building that has more than enough space for what they want to do. And that will give them the opportunity to just pray through, think through, talk through what God would have them do for what God would have them do as a church. And so that's the season they're entering into. And I don't want to speak for them. I'll let them speak for themselves. But essentially, they have to decide, what do they want to do? Do they want to stay in this building and us talk about some sort of rental agreement, or do they want to purchase another building, or does God have another direction for them to go? That's totally up to them. But it's putting them in a great place where the pressure is off and they can just seek God and continue to serve him as a church. So the total of purchasing that building is going to be $440,000. That's the total of what they owe plus the $75,000. So we're buying a 25,000 square foot building for $440,000. If you think of the cost of, let's say, 2,000 square foot homes right now, you realize this is an incredible value. We've estimated it'll cost an additional $700,000 to renovate that building, to bring the technology up to speed and to give it a facelift to look more like what we have here. That's our desire. The building is about 25 years old, and there are significant needs. It needs things that are going to cost a lot of money, and they know that, and they were very open and honest with us about that. In fact, they walked us around the building several times and told us everything they knew of that was either a problem or needed attention or needed address, and that was all part of our thought process and a part of the negotiations. Of course, we did the same thing here. We let them know everything that we know about this building and what they might run into as they occupy it going forward. So we came up with a budget of about $700,000 to renovate that building. Additionally, we are at a point where we need to refinance a loan that we have on this building. So we bought this building for $250,000 in 2020 and put about $200,000 into it. And so we have this building the way it is, at about $45 a square foot, which again, tremendous value. But we did borrow the $250,000. At the time, we were a young church with no real history to go on or anything, but we did have a private lender, a family that knows us well and supports this ministry. It's not anybody that goes to this church, who lent us the money to purchase the building with the understanding that once we got to the point where we would qualify for a conventional loan, that we would go get a conventional loan and pay them back. And so that's where we're at. We need to do that. Regardless of what's happening with Trinity, that was something that was on our radar for this calendar year anyhow. And so $440,000 to purchase the building, we need $700,000 to renovate it, and we need to refinance about $220,000, which is the existing loan on this building. That makes the total need to purchase and renovate the Trinity building $1.36 million. Now, that probably gives you sticker shock, right? That's a lot of money, and it is. And I don't want to downplay the fact that that is a lot of money. However, all things considered, everything costs a lot of money today. Going to the grocery store costs about $1.36 million. Especially if you're Greg and Jocelyn's family with eight kids. But we have to consider the value. We have to consider the rate at which we are getting that. And so that $1.36 million is almost exactly the cost of the estimate we received to put on an addition of 2,500 square feet and pave this parking lot. Had we done that, let's say that cost $1 million, just to make the numbers real easy, we still have a loan of $220,000. So at that point, we're in at least as far as financial responsibility at that point, about $1.2 million, and we have 12,500 square feet of ministry space, and we still have lots of problems. We have limited sanctuary seating. We have parking issues. Our kids' ministry is going to continue. Well, that would open up for our kids' ministry, actually, to have good space. So we still have problems, and we'd have that amount of debt for 12,000 square feet of ministry space. With this new deal, we retain ownership of this building, the 10,000 square feet, and in five years or sooner, depending on what Trinity decides to do, this space will be available to us to do whatever we want with it. If there's a ministry idea that we feel like this is a good fit for, and we have lots of those, then we'll keep it and operate that ministry out of here. Or we could always sell it if the need is for money instead of space, then that's always an option as well. So it puts us in a great place. So we retain the 10,000 square feet here. We're gaining 25,000 square feet for a total of 35,000 square feet of ministry space for Redemption Church. And so, again, I said it was about $45 a square foot to get into this building. I thought we could never reproduce that again. I thought, boy, we were really blessed that we got this for that price in the beginning. And here again, we're going to gain the 25,000 square feet of Trinity United Christian Church at $45 a square foot. That's completely renovated. That's it looking good and ready to go. That's up-to-date technology and equipment. So God is really, really good. That's incredible. Let me just make sure I'm not missing anything important here. All in all, I just think this is a great opportunity for both congregations. You know, it's really I've been so encouraged by the hearts of the folks at Trinity because their desire is for the kingdom. There's no doubt about it. They're in a tough position in terms of what they have invested their hearts and their lives and their money and everything into has been dwindling over the last few years. And they feel that, and they feel the pain of that. And unfortunately, many churches remain competitive, remain territorial, try to get what they can get out of any given deal, and that just has not been the case with Trinity. In fact, if they didn't owe what they owe on the building, it would probably they'd probably be selling it to us for a lot less than they are. But they have a financial need there, and they need to fulfill that obligation. And so, but I'm very excited that God has provided for them because I can imagine the burden that they feel in the situation they're in. And I'm really excited for them to come in here, have a great space, and just be able to relax and be the church a little bit and just see where God takes them. But of course, I'm even more excited for what this means for Redemption Church because this is a great opportunity. Opportunities like this just don't come along that often. We're on our second one in just 3 years, but it's really hard to find opportunities like this. There was a time when Greg and I were looking at, I won't even tell you the commercial properties that we looked at and considered them as possibilities for the home of Redemption Church because it's just not a lot available, and what is available isn't affordable, and so this is a fantastic opportunity. And so locally, what we're trying to do locally, God is providing this incredible opportunity for us to move into a building that will not only better meet our needs today, but will position us to be able to do even more for him in the future and impact this community with the gospel. Remember putting Lower Burrell on the map for mixed martial arts? This gives us an opportunity to continue to strive to put Lower Burrell on the map for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And so that's what we desire to do. So let's talk, that's what we're seeking to do locally, or that's how we're seeking to move forward locally, really. Let's talk about, we also want to strive, we strive to be used by God to grow his church regionally. And we primarily do this through the Steel City Church Planting Network. The Steel City Church Planting Network was an idea that was kind of birthed as we were launching Redemption Church. When Greg and I were getting ready to launch, we looked at other church planting organizations that support church planters, and we just didn't find a home. We didn't find a fit that really had the values that we wanted them to have and the resources to be helpful and a focus on Western Pennsylvania. Western Pennsylvania is obviously very important to us, and we want to see the church thrive. We want to see strong, healthy churches here in Western PA. And that means we need to plant new churches. And you think, well, that sounds crazy. Everywhere I drive, I see four or five churches. There's church buildings all over Western Pennsylvania. The problem is half of them aren't churches anymore. Half of them are, there's churches that have turned into breweries. There's churches that have turned into high ropes courses. There's churches that people have converted to homes. There's church buildings, but a lot of them aren't churches anymore. And of the ones that still are churches, we've seen a huge drift away from the authority of Scripture and the centrality of the gospel message even within those churches. And so some of the churches that are operating as churches aren't really fulfilling the Great Commission that we looked at in Matthew chapter 28. That's not to say there aren't a lot of great churches in our region, because there are. But there is a need to see new churches planted. And so we formed the Still City Church Planting Network. The purpose of Still City is to be a catalyst and to be a support network for the planting of Bible-centered, gospel-driven, multiplying churches. We want to see more churches planted who take the Word of God seriously, who take the needs of the lost in our communities seriously. And so that's our desire. Our strategy is to invest in leaders who are already serving in churches throughout southwestern Pennsylvania, and also to train up and to equip the next generation of leaders to serve in the church throughout Western Pennsylvania. To do this, we do a number of things. We hold various conferences and workshops throughout the year. Most of those happen right here in this building. We have every year we have a preaching workshop. Every other year we have a worship workshop. Every other year, we also have a youth ministry workshop, and that's where we bring in leaders who serve in those ministries and just invest in them, pour in them, equip them, do teaching and training, and just try to make the church stronger. We also have young adult conferences every year. You hear us talk about that. Mel's done a great job at leading that up and seeing that we're very active in engaging the young adult community through both Redemption and Still City Church Planting Network. And so then we also have, in addition to those workshops, we have quarterly leadership lunches. Once a quarter, we have about 50 to 60 pastors and ministry leaders that gather together right here in this room. And again, same thing, we just pour into them. In fact, this was kind of cool. It's a lot of work to do those. It's a lot of work to do all of this, but those lunches are a lot of work, and there's a lot of moving pieces, and it's a little bit of a burden to keep them going, because you're constantly having to reach out to people and say, hey, make sure you get your team signed up for lunch and all that. And recently at one of them, I was having a hard time getting a lot of people to register. We've gotten to where nobody wants to sign up. Everybody just wants to show up. And that's frustrating for planning purposes. And I was like getting kind of discouraged, like, man, is this worth keeping going? And then at that same time that I was just having doubts, there was two different conversations where God let me see the impact that he was having on people and on churches in our area through those lunches. And I thought, this really is important. It really is a huge need. There's nobody else in our area that's doing this. There's other parts of Pittsburgh that do this well, but our little section of the region here just doesn't do this well. Everybody's in their own little isolated silo. I got my ministry, you got your ministry. And this is the one thing I know of that's regularly bringing people together. It doesn't matter denomination. Your theological convictions can be different than mine. We're just going to come together and strengthen each other. And so those have been extremely fruitful and encouraging to see, but it is work at times. Thirdly, we have launched the Still City School of Ministry. Now, the Still City School of Ministry is still in its infancy stages. Many of you have heard us talk about this. You've heard us advertise classes. There's a class going on right now on Thursday nights. And the goal of the Still City School of Ministry is to help be a launching pad for those who feel a call of God on their lives to greater service in the kingdom, whether that's vocational ministry, whether that means meaning you're going to go out and work full-time and be paid as a person in ministry, or whether you just want to step up and serve better in your church, the Still City School of Ministry is there to equip you for that. We're in the process of pursuing accreditation so that we can actually offer credits and degrees. We're hopefully, by this time next year, we'll be able to offer both bachelor's and master's level Christian education degrees, which is really awesome. And so this has a ton of potential. It's a ton of potential to impact the kingdom of Christ here, not only in the Western Pennsylvania region, though certainly here in Western Pennsylvania, but around the world. It's our desire that we'll see missionaries come through this school. It's our desire that we'll see church planters come through this school. It's our desire that we'll see people who will step up and lead new initiatives to take the gospel to places where it's currently not being rejoiced in. And so it's very exciting to see what God's been doing with that school. And that all falls under what we do with Still City Church Planting Network, which really is goes hand in hand with what happens here at Redemption Church. And so we've talked about what we're doing locally. We've talked about what we're seeking to do regionally. And then I get really excited when we talk about what God is doing globally, because God has given us such great relationships globally to make a difference for his kingdom. We've built strategic partnerships at various places around the world, including Southeast Asia, Mexico, India, and probably the most significant relationship we have right now in Malawi, Africa. And last year, we launched the Redemption Leadership Training Center in a rural part of Malawi, where pastors there have no training. Well, I shouldn't say no formal training, no opportunities to really be poured into so that they can go and minister to others. And so the Redemption Leadership Training Center there in Malawi is solving that issue, solving that need. And we've already begun to train those pastors and to pour into them. There's really, really solid men of God who are already doing the work of ministry. They're just doing it with very little training and very little help. And they are hungry. They're hungry for support. They're hungry for training. And so we've seen a lot of fruit there. We're about a year into a 3 to 5 year plan wherein we're going to build a facility to house the Redemption Leadership Training Center. It's already underway. You've probably seen pictures of that on Facebook. But in addition to building that facility, we're coming alongside of the leaders there. And our strategy is if we pour into and invest in the leaders, then they'll go pour into and invest in all the people. And so we've got men that come from hours away in these very rural villages to come and to be trained under the word of God. The groundwork is already, as soon as we started working with these guys, they immediately started taking what we were giving them out, and they are immediately going in and reaching other pastors and other leaders. And so the groundwork is already being laid to reproduce this leadership training center in Mozambique, which is a neighboring country. And so we're very excited to see how quickly they've taken to what we've begun doing with them there in Malawi and in Mozambique. And once we get done with that, if we ever run out of work there in Malawi and Mozambique, we've got plenty of other opportunities. We have lots of relationships throughout Africa, throughout other parts of the world, where we hope to keep reproducing, doing the same thing, where we're training those who are going to take the gospel to their people. So that is our strategy, our vision, if you will, for how we are going to obey Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. We are going to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to obey everything that has been commanded, and remembering and reminding them that Jesus is with us always. We want to do that locally. We want to do that regionally. We want to do that globally. So the question is, what is your role? Why do you care? And what are we asking you to do? How can you participate? Well, the next thing you see on your handout is this. We are invited to pursue this vision, each and every one of us. This is not just for those who have a lot of money to give. This is not just for those who are spiritually the spiritually mature among us. This is for all of us, guys. All of us are invited to pursue this vision by surrendering our lives completely to Christ. That's step one. We begin by surrendering our lives completely to Christ. If Jesus asked you to do something, would you do it? Well, what is he asking me to do? It doesn't matter. If he asks you, would you do it? If the answer is not yes, then you have not surrendered your life completely to Jesus Christ. And I want to invite you to do that. I want to invite you to make it your aim that in all of life, you will obey King Jesus. I love how simple it's put in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas were arrested and they were placed in jail, and God performed a miracle to release these guys from jail. But in the midst of that miracle of them getting released from jail, there was an even greater miracle that happens. And that happens in verse 29 through 34. It says in Acts 16, the jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. He escorted them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him along with everyone in his house. He took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. Right away, he and all his family were baptized. He brought them into his house, set a meal before them, and rejoiced because he had come to believe in God with his entire household. I love what happens here, because there's this everyday event of going to work. This guy's a jailer, he's just doing his job, and God intervenes into his everyday life with this miraculous deliverance of Paul and Silas out of prison. And he immediately recognizes there's something bigger in life. There's something more important than what he had been focused on up until that point. And what does he do? He turns to these guys and he says, "What do I do? What must I do to be saved?" And they say, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved." And this begins a radical transformation wherein this guy now is leading his family to use all of life to serve the living God. Have you done that? Have you surrendered your life completely to Jesus Christ? Are you willing to do whatever it is that he asks you to do? If not, you are missing out on the best that life has to offer. Following Jesus truly is the best way to go through life. And so we invite you to do that. We invite you first to surrender your life completely to Christ. Secondarily, we invite you to invest your time, talent, and treasure in this mission. Having surrendered your life, received the gift of salvation and eternal life, will you now in turn, with the command, the commission given in Matthew 28, will you choose to invest your time, your talent, and your treasure in the mission? Jesus very pointedly tells his disciples in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, he says, "Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." It's a sad reality to us that anything we store up for ourselves here on earth does not last. It's a sad reality that we cannot preserve life through the accumulation of earthly goods, but we can't. But there is good news, and that good news is we can invest in something that will last. We can store up for ourselves treasure. We just can't do it here on earth. I mean, think about it. This whole CrowdStrike thing that happened the last couple of days, I mean, how long until one of those hits the financial institutions and all of our life savings is completely gone? I'm sorry. but stop storing up for yourselves treasures here on earth. I'm not saying don't plan for retirement and all. I'm not saying don't be wise with your resources. I'm saying get your focus off of what's only going to last for a limited period of time and focus on what is eternal. The work that we do for the kingdom of Jesus is eternal. It has eternal worth, eternal value. Furthermore, Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, your heart will be also." It is the privilege of all who follow Christ to have that experience of when I begin investing my time, talent, treasure in the kingdom of God, my heart is in the kingdom of God, which is a way better place for your heart to be than in the kingdoms of this world. So much of our stress and our frustration is because we have placed all of we've put everything into this world. All of our hope and all of our desires revolve around the things of this world, which cannot be depended upon. So don't store for yourselves treasures on earth. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So what do we need? You've already seen the numbers. We need 1.36 million to complete this project. That will refinance the loan on this building. It will purchase Trinity and account for the renovations that need to happen. Our goal is that when we get to, by the time we get to having services in Trinity, it will feel much more familiar than it does now. Right now, it feels like a church that was built 25 years ago. And for some of you, you're like, leave it that way. That's the way I want it. I'm sorry, we're not going to. It's gonna feel like this. This is the style that we have chosen, and we've done that for good reason. We feel confident in that. So we are gonna renovate it. There's a lot of things that have to be done aside from aesthetics. There are a lot of things that need to be fixed. So that 1.36 million gets us there. Now, good news is, if you look at this brochure, you'll see the thermometer, which is probably where your attention went pretty quickly. We have in position financing for $760,000. We actually can borrow a little bit more than that if we need to, but budget-wise, that's what we're planning for, financing $760,000. We've already raised $350,000. Your faithful giving and faithful financial stewardship here at Redemption have allowed us to save up that money. We knew this day was coming. We knew that we had to do something with this building, and so we've been diligently saving, spending as little as possible without hamstringing ministries. But we do try to, we're lean and mean here, and we pride ourselves in being lean and mean. We don't just throw money around. We try to invest in key areas where we think it'll make the greatest impact. And so that's allowed us to save up a lot of money. And so we've already raised $350,000. That leaves us with what I think is very achievable campaign goal of $250,000. That's the amount of money we would like to raise in the next few weeks in order to move forward with this project. And so I'm asking you to consider what role you might play in helping us get there, specifically with the building campaign. Can you give above and beyond? Listen, any giving, hopefully this goes without saying, you probably already know this, but let's say you give $100 a month to Redemption Church already. If you plan on keeping giving $100 a month to Redemption Church, just now you're going to call it building campaign, that doesn't help. I don't mean that to be offensive. It just doesn't help because that's money that we already count on coming in. We're asking, what can you give above and beyond, if anything? If you're in a position, and I know a lot of people are today, there are people who are like, man, I'm barely getting by as it is. And so this is between you and the Lord. But if you are in a position to give above and beyond what you already give to Redemption Church, would you let us know? There's a pledge card inside that brochure where it gives you the opportunity. We're asking for two numbers if you're going to participate in this. We're asking for a one-time gift. That's what we're calling the kickstart offering. That's a one-time gift. If you say, I'm going to give $1,000, I'm going to give $10,000, or I'm going to give $100,000, as a one-time gift, write that number in there. And then, would you additionally consider an ongoing increase in your giving over the next 5 months, that takes us to the end of the year, in any amount? And that would be your pledge to give. And then let us know, do you plan on giving weekly, monthly, or one time? And so I don't expect you to be able to turn those in today. Hopefully this is something you're gonna pray about, think about, talk about, and give some great consideration to. But when you're ready, you can bring this back to the church. And the big part is for us. The little one is just a reminder to you of what you've committed to. You can just stick that in your Bible, in your checkbook, wherever, your wallet, wherever you want to put that. But again, there's two numbers. Both of them, we're asking only for what you're going to give above and beyond what you already give, a one-time offering or a pledge to give over the next 5 months. And you can do one or the other. You can do neither. You can do both. You can do whatever God leads you to do. Additionally, you can fill this out online, which would be our preference. There is a QR code on there. You can go on there anytime. Scan that QR code. It'll take you right to the webpage. It'll have some of the information we talked about today. It'll have some of the information that's in this brochure, but it'll also have a place for you to complete your giving or to complete your pledge to give. And that's super helpful because that just goes right into our system. You turn in one of these, and we don't mind if you do, but if you turn in one of these, we've got to manually enter that. And so if you have the ability to do that online, please do. If that intimidates you, we would be delighted to get this from you. So don't hesitate to do that. And so that's where we're headed. That is why I hated to take a Sunday away from our sermon series, but there's so much you need to know. You need to know what God is doing here at Redemption through your giving, through your faithful support, through your investment of your time and your energy. God is building his kingdom. He's building it among us, and he's building it through us. And that is an incredible, incredible privilege to be a part of. And so, Lord willing, we'll raise this $250,000 and get the ball rolling on this project. Now, we're still probably somewhere around 2 months out from closing. We've been back and forth with our lender on getting us a closing date, and it's been kind of a little bit slower than we'd like to get to that point, which means it's probably going to be a little bit slower than we'd like to get to closing as well, but we should have a closing date in the very near future. As we've mentioned before, there's plenty of volunteer work to do over there. That $700,000 budget accounts for us doing some of the work, but it also accounts for hiring professionals to do the stuff that the professionals should do. As far as painting classrooms and stuff like that, we're confident. We ripping up carpet, whatever, we can go in and do that as volunteers, but there's a lot of stuff that we want to hire somebody to do because it needs to get done quickly and it needs to be done properly. And so if you have any questions, you want to talk more about this, and of course, if we raise over the $250,000, that's just less that we have to borrow and less debt. But we kind of picked, there's several different numbers that we were playing with. And one of the things we wanted to have a mortgage that we were comfortable with, a mortgage that we felt pretty confidently based on current numbers and trends that we could pay without really hamstringing any of the things that we desire to do. But we would love to not have a mortgage. And so if you are in a position to give generously in a way that might change those numbers, we would love to talk to you. So any questions, let me know. Feel free to reach out. I'd be glad to sit down with you, have a cup of coffee, whatever, and talk more about this. But I've taken up enough of our time. So let me pray, and we'll get back to worship. Father, we're so grateful that you have chosen to show your love and show us through your Son how committed you are to redeeming the lost of this world. God, I pray that we would commit ourselves to that cause as well. Help us to be Matthew 28 Christians. Help us to go enthusiastically to baptize, to teach, to worship, to obey. God, help us to make our mark on this world for your kingdom. Think of those words that we often quote here, just one life, it will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. God, help us to have an eternal focus. God, I think I probably speak for everybody in this room. You've blessed us materially. We may not be among the richest in our nation, but we are certainly among the richest in the world. Of the billions of human beings alive today, the overwhelming majority dream about the lives that we live. And God, may we see that as a responsibility to take what you have blessed us with, invest it in your kingdom. God, I pray for generosity. I pray for open hearts, open minds, God, that we would together in unity move towards this vision of growing your kingdom here in Lower Borough, Western Pennsylvania, and even beyond. God, would you take our finite lives and use them for eternity? And God, as we give, we are not without needs. And so as we give, I pray that you would provide for our needs as well. I pray that no one among us would be in need because you have blessed and provided all that we need. And God, I pray that we'd live with open hands and open hearts. God, use us for your glory, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's worship together in light of what God